Folks, if you're struggling with a relationship with your team or your boss or your peers, or maybe you're not struggling, but you just want to get better in terms of relationships and you understand DISC, we highly recommend you consider our Effective Relationships series of podcasts. You can buy a series telling you that if you're a D, how to relate to your directs, each of whom D, I, S, and C, or if you're a D, relating to your boss, who might be a D, I, S, and C. It will tell you in every podcast, some of them as much as 2 hours long, how to handle meetings, how to handle delegations, how to handle feedback and coaching, how to brief your boss, how to disagree with your boss, how to communicate in general with your boss, what your boss wants from you and what you might want from your directs as well. Many of the show notes are 20 and 25 pages long to give you many, many examples and many, many details of behaviors you can engage in to, again, as we like to say, reduce the drama, reduce the tension, reduce the conflict, and increase the harmony and collaboration, which leads to better outcomes because it's all about results and people are what's important. Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on relationship errors, having a favored deficit. Here we go. So, Wendy, you and I have talked before long and hard over and over and over again about the most important part of people's careers other than results are relationships. And there are a lot of our listeners who don't believe in relationships, who think people are a secondary consideration. And unfortunately, that's not our experience at all. And one of the things that happens in the culture of relationships and politics and so on is favors. It's one of the currencies. It's one of the ways we exchange respect for each other, even though there are plenty of people in the world who believe they ought not to be done and you don't have to do them and so on. And so there are times when people do favors for us, but maybe we don't do favors in return. And now we get into a situation where we really owe favors, but we're not doing them.
Yeah, that's right. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good place to be in a relationship where someone feels like you're the dead weight, or even if they don't, they hadn't noticed it, but you feel like you're the dead weight because you feel like they're doing more for you than you are for them. It's not a nice feeling.
Yeah. And can I assume that you agree with me that sometimes doing a favor for someone does not require someone saying, will you do me a favor? Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Their currency is giving and getting. It's reciprocity in a relationship. And while some relationships tend to be a little bit one-sided, there are an awful lot of relationships which are very one-sided. And often the person who's getting more favors doesn't think of them that way and thinks, well, they want to give to me. That's fine. I don't feel the need to give to them. And they ought to embrace that part of me. Unfortunately, in the real world, people notice these things. And it may not have to be perfectly equal, but one ought to be able to know whether or not one's favors with other people are in balance. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of these things are, when we're saying favors, I don't know what people are thinking, but they're really simple things like pick up someone else's mail who sits near you when you pick yours up, or bring them a coffee when you get yours, or at least ask them if they want a coffee. Or notice their printing is on the printer and bring it back with you. Those kind of things, people might say, hey, I've just printed something. Are you going? Can you pick mine up? But they might not ask because they might not know where you're going. So they're only small things. That it's not like, you know, someone lends you their car for 3 weeks.
Okay.
I mean, that still would be a favor, but a lot of the time what we're talking about are very small things.
Right. Okay. So what's our outline? What do we want to share with people about how to have an effective career?
Okay. So the first thing is do favors for everyone, except if it affects your ability to get results.
Okay.
Don't worry about reciprocity on your side.
Reciprocity.
I'm in the cast in a word that I can't say. Okay. Worry about reciprocity on their side. And then talk about a deficit if one occurs.
Okay. I assume when you say don't worry about reciprocity on your side, meaning if you're giving more, that's good. Don't worry about giving too much. Worry about giving too little.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay, so do favors for everyone, except that it affects your ability to get results. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, like, every relationship you have is with a single person. You can't have a relationship with a group of people. You can only have the relationship between you and that person. And so you might think, okay, Wendy and Mark are saying, I have to do favors for people. So I'm going to do favors for my boss, my boss's boss, and girl in HR who can get me a pay rise. But that's not what we're saying. We don't want you to do favors for the people who you think can get you something. Because that's notice. That's one of the things that we're going to say a lot in this cast is how you behave around favors is noticed and people draw conclusions. And those right. people would draw conclusions that were negative because they think you were doing favors in order to get something.
This is very equivalent to the problem that we talked about openly in our Building a Network podcast, which is probably the most important. Would you say it's the most important career tools cast?
Absolutely.
And in that cast, we basically say that you need to have much more of a shotgun approach to friendships, relationships, professional associations than you do a rifle effect, meaning you don't target the EVP to be your friend because she can do something for you and then ignore everybody else. You don't say to yourself, okay, who do I want to know who can help me get ahead? The problem with that is if you're not a natural people person, you end up being not very good at people because you don't have enough practice when you actually meet the VP or the EVP, and you come across rather shamelessly. Even if you have good people skills and you target only certain people, at the same time you may be building a relationship of use to you with someone in power or someone with important other connections, you will be burning far more relationships because people will then begin to see you as somebody who uses people to get what you want. Giving favors fairly indiscriminately will show that you are someone who gives rather than gets. If you start targeting your favors, you start to get being seen as someone who sees favors as currency to get what they want, which eliminates the entire value of the favor. Basically, you're brown nosing, you're sucking up. So it is natural. A lot of young people say to me, Mark, I really want to meet this guy. Well, okay, meet a lot more people and you'll increase the chances. And randomly, you may meet somebody who knows that guy, but don't step on people in order to get who you want, because you better smile at people on your way up because you'll see them on the way back down.
As we say nearly every cast.
Yeah.
And being known as one of the people who helps other people out means that people will start coming to you, even in different divisions, or people that you don't know will say to their friends, hey, do you know anyone in so-and-so who can help me out? And they go, oh, Jeff, he always helps me out. He's such a nice guy.
Right.
And now you've got a reputation that's wider than just your team about being a nice guy and helping people out. And there is no harm in that.
Yeah, I also say this. I just spent a couple of days in Silicon Valley, which tends to have a much more analytical culture and vibe and much more numerical and so on and much less people-focused, except at the top. And I'll tell you, there are an awful lot of people who think that it's not about favors. The fact that, oh, he owes me something, or, you know, well, that's not important. What's important is I'm smart or I'm effective or I'm good. Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's true. But if you don't give favors, if you don't give to other people, if you don't help other people out, a lot of people won't know how good you are. And you remind me of myself when I was 22 and just starting in the Army. And I said, I'm not going to play politics. I'm just going to be the best lieutenant in this unit without politics. Well, as a listener once told me, after my comment that the definition of conflict is two human beings in the same county, the listener said, the definition of politics is three human beings in the same county. And you're going to have politics. You're going to have relationships. You're going to have to get along with other people. Favors are part of the currency, not the entire currency. And if you think it's only about your results, it's only about your technical skill, about your effectiveness, about your efficiency, which is the least of the two, you're going to be lacking, and you won't have the skills to be effective when you get to the top of the organization, because I promise you there's somebody else as smart as you. And heaven forbid they're as smart as you about the thing that matters later in their career, which is people. So give me an example, maybe.
Well, you can help me out with the math here. So let's suppose that Julie and Joe are on the same team, and they're in this imaginary company that we use for the delegation, Coan.
Yeah.
And so all the bosses have five directs.
Okay.
So Julie works for her boss and she does favors for her peers because they're in her team. Her boss notices. So she's like, okay, I'm going to do favors for these four people, four other people and her boss. So she has five people willing to help her out or to vouch for her or to tell someone else about her. Joe does favors for his peers and his boss's peers directs. And if he sees the mailman, he buys him a coffee because the mailman always needs an extra coffee. And so if their boss has four peers, because every boss has five,
right,
and each of them has five directs, so Joe has five people on his boss's level, 24 on his level, and the mailman.
Yeah.
And mailmen are really, really helpful.
Six times as many.
Yeah. And how much more time is it taking up than Julie? Probably none.
Well, this is a problem. This is where you'll get some analytical person tell you, oh, no, it takes six times as much. Yes, in principle, you're right. If we're going to do the math correctly, our invisible interlocutor would say, he would be right. It would take six times as much. Here's the thing. There is so much waste in the workplace today that all of us have time to do six times more favors. And if you have a lot of things to do, you will simply compress everything else to take care of the 2 or 3 minutes it takes you to do that favor. More importantly, there are plenty of times when you're not completely pressed every second of every day. During those times when you are completely pressed, you won't do as many favors. You'll be able to be narrowly linear. And in fact, more importantly, other people will owe you favors during that time that will help you save time.
Exactly. You've got 6 minutes times as many opportunities to get stuff done for you.
Guys, your idea that time is the issue is only correct if you are fully efficient. And what we know is even a super efficient person is only about 65% efficient. You have about 30% of waste in your life. So there's plenty of time for you to do favors. And the idea that you don't have time to do favors for more people is ludicrous because, I've got thousands of stories of people who were not the smartest and not the best who ended up at the top because they are pretty smart about X and pretty smart about technology Y and pretty smart about budget Z. And they're also pretty smart about people. If you don't reach a minimum threshold with people, all the smarts you have in other areas won't matter. All the effectiveness you have in other areas won't matter. You'll rub people the wrong way. And we have a podcast about if not you, who, where we say, if you're being considered for a job and there are five people up for it, all of whom know each other, particularly at the very top of organizations, the question they always ask is, hey, look, if it couldn't be you, who would you be willing to vote for? And the reason why is at the top of the organization, everybody wants to get ahead. Everybody wants the higher level job because there's power in it and success. And so they always assume the VP wants the SVP's job if it's available. And so everybody says, well, if you ask me, among me and my five peers, of course, I would be the one that I would pick to be the best. Fine. Other than you, who would it be? And what you want is to be number two on everybody's list. And the only way you're going to be number two on everybody's list is if you have good relationships with everybody. And it's not going to be because you're a genius, because probably at that level, everybody's pretty smart.
Everyone's a genius, yeah.
And so what I would suggest to you is, for many of you right now, we're suggesting you redefine your definition of smarts, keeping in mind that the first horseman's first law is it's all about people. And you may not like that, and it may be frustrating, and you may have gone to school and gotten great grades and started in a career that was hard to get into because of your background and so on. And it may be frustrating for you, but if you're uncomfortable with the people side of things, at some point, you can pay us now or you can pay us later. You're going to have to go through this culture change. And part of that is doing favors. Okay, sorry. Another one of those horseman tangent.
We're not doing favors just to get favors. That's not the point. We don't have a secret list where, you know, we've written down Julia two favors this week and we wait for Julia to make two. But we do it because doing helpful things for other people is the way you build value into that relationship. So every time you do something for somebody else, they think that person's a really nice person, or that was nice, that was helpful, and you get a little bit more currency in that relationship.
Yep.
The second part of this was, relationships are half the career success equation, but the other part is results. And there are times when, as you said, you're in a crunch time and you can't do favors for people, or that somebody asked you to do something and you know that if you did it, you would not get the results that your boss is expecting this week, or the project that you're working on would be late, or you just wouldn't be able to attend to your own priorities and you have to say no. And the good thing about having done a bunch of favors before that is that if you have to say no, Most people will go, oh, I can see you're slammed. I'll go find someone else. If you always say no, they won't say that. They'll be like, you know, in a corner muttering about the fact that you never help anybody else out. But having invested and got some value in that relationship, when you do say no, it's much easier. It's a much easier conversation for you.
Okay. So you say don't worry about reciprocity on your side. I want to say that again. That's a hard thing for me to get wrap my head around the way you say it. What you're saying is, I don't worry about giving too much. What I should worry about is taking too much, assuming that when somebody does me a favor, I'm taking, although that's probably an overstatement.
Yeah. So I was thinking of a teeter-totter, a seesaw.
Yeah, sure.
And if you imagine every favor you do is weight on your side of the teeter-totter, and the other person is, every time they don't do you a favor, they're rising.
Yeah.
If you're on the ground and they're like way up high with their legs swinging, that's okay. What you don't want to be is you in the air, because right, you're not doing any favors, and them on the ground.
For those of us who aren't as clever with words as you are, what you would say is give more than you get.
Exactly.
Now, not to the extreme where you won't accept favors. I know a couple people, friends of mine, who refuse to accept favors. Oh, no, I'll do it. I want to do something for you, but I don't, which I think is a form of insecurity. But separate from that, what we're suggesting is, assuming there's some normal give and take in the relationship, you want to generally give more than you get. And you make a point in the show notes about, we all know people who want to split the bill exactly according to what each person ate at restaurants, right? And the other half of us are like, no.
And they count, well, who had an alcoholic drink and who didn't. And
oh, yeah. Well, I know somebody, and some of my close friends will know who I'm talking about. I know somebody who, when they've drank a lot, they want to split the bill. And when they haven't, then they want to count everybody's individually.
That's even worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and you know this person. My point is, I pick up the check all the time simply because I find it egregious that people would argue about the bill. That people would say, well, you spent $15 and I spent $16. And I've actually done this before. I'm not proud of it, but I'll admit it because I want people to understand that as we ask you to get better in your career, we're not perfect either, but we know what we know. And that is, when somebody says it's $1 difference, I said, okay, here, there's $1 and now we're even. But for some people, that kind of precision is important. But what we're saying is, not counting is better. It's not a calculation. It's probably more of a gut feel. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, if you have close friends, maybe everybody else like does the calculation every time. But when I've had close friends and going out to dinner was something that we did on a fairly regular basis, one person would pick it up one week, and then the other person would pick it up a couple of weeks later, and then I'd pick it up, and then they'd pick it up, it would be 3 days till payday and she wouldn't have any money, so I'd pick up an extra one. And you just bet on the fact that it will even out over time. And you do get a gut feel of like, I think I've paid for the last three. And that the other person probably will too, and go, hey, I am sure you've paid a lot more than I have recently. Like, it must be my turn. This is the way that human beings, before we invented currency, this is what we did. We did favors for each other. We traded things, and we had to have a gut feel because there was nothing that had a price on it that was, you know, like gold has an actual price per weight, right? But favors don't. And so just instinctively, you have an idea of what value things have to you and to them and where you are on that teeter-totter.
Yeah. Now, we should worry when we are giving less favors than we're receiving. Gut feel, not accounting. If somebody else has done us a lot of favors and we haven't done as many, then that's a negative, right? Then we're the one in the air a little bit. What do we do? How should I approach that?
There's two reasons why that might happen. The first is that you're unwilling, and the second is that there's been no opportunities.
Yeah, okay.
So if, you know, there are some people who you don't get on with in your workplace. There are people whose talents you could admire, but you don't want to have a particularly close relationship to them, or who are really good at their job, but are just annoying to sit near, or whatever. And you might feel like you don't want to do a favor for that person. Like, if their printing's there on the printer, you just ignore it because you just don't want to go talk to them. If you're being unwilling, then you're cutting your nose off to spite your face. Yep. Because people notice that. It's like, if you never bring Ben's printing back from the printer and you do everybody else's, not only is Ben going to notice, everybody else is going to notice. And they're not going to think, oh, he's nice to me. They're going to go, why is he so nasty to Ben? And now you're getting a reputation that you don't want. So if there's someone you feel unwilling to do favors for, and they haven't done anything to you to cause you to do that, you know, there isn't some huge rift between you. It's just, you know, you just don't feel like it, then just get over it. Because again, you're doing stuff not to get it back, but to build into karma, as it were. You know, you're paying forward and you'll expect that it'll come back to you. And missing one person out is only going to bring negative to you. And then the other reason is because you haven't had any opportunity. So you might be working on a project where someone is helping you out and that person's an admin, or that person's got some technical skill that you haven't got, and they have to do that work, but there isn't anything that you can do for them. So you end up with this deficit.
Yeah.
So this is the fourth point, which is talk about a deficit if one occurs. You feel like you know that they've done far more for you than you have done for them, but there's no way for you to pay them back. So my solution has been in the past to give them something that kind of, it doesn't balance things out, but it acknowledges the gap. So I might bring them chocolate or bring them a coffee.
Yeah, actually, when I read the show notes, I actually thought, talk about a deficit when occurs. I actually said it different in my head, which is address a deficit. If you and I were colleagues and you had done several favors for me, I'm busy or whatever, and then I realized, gosh, you've done several things for me recently and I haven't repaid that favor. And yes, folks, if you don't think this way, you are missing an important political, relational, behavioral gene in organizational life, and it will hurt you. I'm just telling you. And that's why we have this podcast. But if I recognize there's a deficit, rather than maybe talk about it, in some cases I would, I might very well mention it to you, I might also address it by going by your desk and say, hey, look, I know you love chocolate. I've been swamped. You've done a lot for me. Thank you ever so much. And that's addressing it. And sometimes addressing things is as simple as a thank you, because thank yous are so underrated.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might, if Maggie did a bunch of stuff for me because she's not close to me, I might send a card in the mail and I would probably write a note to her boss, which is you, and say, hey, Maggie has been awesome recently. She's done this and this and this, because that gives you a chance to say to Maggie, hey, I hear you've been doing a really good job lately. And everybody loves that.
I assume you have the same experience I do. This action of talking to someone's boss and mentioning it, like, for instance, if Mike were your boss, he's not, I'm your boss, but if Mike were your boss and we were all co-located and you had done three or four things to me, maybe you're in somewhat, even if you're in a support role to me, I might go by Mike's desk and say, hey, real quick, Mike, I just got to tell you, every time I ask Wendy for help, she steps up. She does great. And I know she's swamped, so just wanted you to know. And the whole point of me doing that, the primary point is for him to know. The secondary point is for him to say something to you, and that helps you, right? And it helps you differently than me saying thank you to you.
It's still a favor, you know?
Yes.
If you kind of broaden your idea of what favors are, that is still
absolutely
a favor. I mean, you can make it easy for people that are helping you. You can give them what they need in the right order or at the right time. You can not give them stuff 5 minutes before they're going home or just before lunch. So that's one way of making it easier for other people who are giving you a lot of favors that you can't return, is to make the job as easy as possible and do it. And when you ask and when you get back what you need, do it with gratitude. Like, say, I really appreciate, I know you've got a lot of these and I know you're doing them, like, really, thank you. And do it every single time, or not, you know. If that's once an hour, it's probably too much. But, like, you know, don't go for a month and only say it at the end. You know, say it periodically.
Yeah, and I would suspect for most people listening to this cast, No, maybe not most, but a plurality of folks listen to this cast. The important thing about this cast is recognizing that favors matter. They're part of the currency of relationships. And there's all kinds of ways to do it. You could say thank you. You could give a gift. Although, look, if a gift is frowned upon in your office, a note is fine. To repay in kind is generally the right thing to do. So if somebody spends time helping you on something, you spend time helping them back. Now, I know a lot of people, I mean, it's not a majority, maybe it's only 10, 15, 20%, who, because they don't think about giving favors, when people give them favors, like, oh, yeah, he did it, but that's not an important thing. That's not me. I don't do that. And that's the problem, is that you don't realize that you're the wrong one, that the culture of favors matters. And yes, there are rare people who abuse it, but the vast majority of people, when they do you a favor, they may not keep count, but they know at some point that you are not returning them. And it doesn't make you right when you say that's not who you are. It makes you at some point a pariah, because they'll stop doing them and you'll probably think, oh, he learned. I'm not a favor giver, and so he shouldn't expect anything from me. Which is to say that you're questioning his integrity and motivations by suggesting that he's doing it in order to get something from you, which is not the case. But more importantly, you will then be known as the person who doesn't do favors, and that won't help your career at all. You may not like that, but this isn't fantasy tools. It's career tools. It's about real life. So do you want to wrap us up?
Yeah. So the things we said were, do favors for everyone, except when it affects your ability to get results. Don't worry about reciprocity on your side. Worry about
reciprocity.
We're not having this word in a car.
It's like recipe. Reciprocity. Yeah.
On their side. So if the favor gap is, if you've done more, that's okay. If you've done less, then you need to do something. And talk or address the deficit if it occurs. And we've said the first rule of relationships is give, give, give. And there are times when you can't give, you can only take. But if you, on balance, strive to have given more, you know, if nothing else, it will make you creative about how to do favors for people. And we promise you that it will come back to you.
Yep. Good. Okay. Thanks so much, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Come back next week to Career Tools. Always good, always professional, always relevant.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.